Would you please join me in prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. While I'm grateful to Barb for reading the 22nd Psalm, I'm going to read you a poem based on the 22nd Psalm. And this rendition is from Malcolm Gita. He's an Anglican priest and a very popular speaker. And I had the opportunity to take a class with him online during the pandemic. So this poem is called Psalm 22, Deus, Deus Meus. Before he shares with us the golden crown, he comes to share with us the crown of thorns. Our hearts and hates close in and hem him round, mock and humiliate him. All the scorns with which we blaspheme God in one another are concentrated here among the horns of unicorns, the lion's mouths. The slather of our devouring wickedness, he takes it all and turns it into love. He gathers all of us and by atonement makes our peace with God. He speaks to us of mercy even as we pierce him. No one slakes his thirst. I tremble at the mystery, for Christ himself is crying through the psalm to suffer my own dereliction for me. You may recall that it is customary to meditate on the seven last words of Jesus on Good Friday. And the fourth word comes from Mark 15, verses 34 through 35. And the text says, at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, listen, he is calling for Elijah. My God, why have you forsaken me? I suspect at one point or another in most of our lives, we've asked these questions. God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? And I remember when I was preparing to be ordained, I had to meet with the Committee on Ministry, and this topic of how we would address people who were despairing and who were feeling loss came up. And I first offered a frankly unsatisfactory academic answer. And then they looked at me and basically gave me the opportunity to try again. And I suggested that Psalm 22 might have something to tell us there. And they all thought that was the right answer. Jesus had questions at the end. On the day Jesus was executed, when he was killed, he wanted to know why God had forsaken him. Now, you may wonder why today is called Good Friday, because there doesn't seem to be anything good about it. This is a day we remember Jesus' death on a cross. And the Romans were really big on crucifying people. If you were looking for a way to deter rebellion and crime, a crucified person was a really good way to communicate the power of the state to any potential malefactors. So what was good out of this? Well, many mainline Christians take issue today with the theory of atonement, but that's a crucial part of Christian teaching. An atonement theory says that Jesus died for our sins, and today is seen as being a day of salvation, and that is what is good. Out of Jesus' death, something good arose. Now, we might like to say we don't need any help being saved. And I will tell you, you're kidding yourself if you believe that. We all need someone's help. And we should first turn to our friends and our family and our church and our wider community. But ultimately, the one person we can turn to when things seem dire, when all hope is lost, is God, because God will never, ever desert us. So yes, Jesus offered this lament drawn from Hebrew scripture. Those are texts he knew well. That was part of his Bible. And like a good person of faith, he turned to the Psalms. And so he offered that lament, my God, why have you forsaken me? But as we heard more of the Psalm, we saw that the psalmist still had trust and faith in God. And so I would encourage each one here to meditate on that Psalm and to renew and rededicate ourselves to our faith in God. One of the other names for this day is Black Friday. Now, many of you know why that name cannot be used anymore, because it's now been totally co-opted by the retail industry. So we're not going to talk about how the stores start to turn a profit on the day after Thanksgiving. But I would like us for a moment to focus on that notion of Black Friday or Dark Friday, because there is something about this day that is unlike any other day in the Christian calendar. This is the day when everything goes to hell. The wheels come off the bus. And yet Jesus was willing to die on the cross. Now, you can argue that God had to somehow make a sacrifice to satisfy his need for justice. You can look at the crucifixion as a sign of solidarity with humanity, a symbol of just how much God loves us. And I like that latter interpretation. And we talked yesterday on Maundy Thursday about the communion meal and how even when Jesus knew that one of his disciples was going to betray him, he still welcomed Judas to sit at the table with him and to share in the meal. On the night before Jesus was going to be executed, he was worried about his friends. And he washed their feet. And he encouraged them to serve others. This was his very last night. And I have to confess, I don't know that I would be so gracious and generous on my last night. I hope I would be, but I don't know. But I know that God will be with me. And that is the good news that we can take away from Good Friday. God is here. And as we say on Christmas, God is Emmanuel, God with us. So in a few moments, we're going to recite the solemn intercession, and then we're going to do the solemn approaches of the cross. And in that portion of the liturgy, we're going to say, I gave you a royal scepter and bestowed on you the keys to the kingdom, but you have given me a crown of thorns. I raised you on high with great power, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior. And then we'll respond, Lord, have mercy. So God knows we have messed up. God knows that we sin. God knows that we can fall to the darkest, deepest depths. And God still loves us. And God still gives us another chance. So let us now continue our service of worship with the solemn intercession.